Okay. Okay, I picked four small Rambans, some of which tie into big themes in Rambans, and some of which are just fun in terms of parsing this week's parasha. Let's start at the very beginning. So the parasha starts, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Bo el Paro, Ki ani echbadeti es libo ve es leiv avodav, I've hardened his heart and the hearts of his servants, Laman shisi el sosai ela bikirbo. So more or less so that I can make miraculous things happen in Mitzrayim, Ulaman tisaper beoznei bincho ven bincho, Esa sheri salalti bimitzrayim, you'll be able to tell your children how I toyed with the Egyptians, ve'eso sosea shesamti bom v'idatem ki ani Hashem. Psukim was straightforward. We already touched on last week the Ramban's problem about the removal of Paro's Bechira Chavshis, this idea of ki ani ichbadeti es libo. It sounds like HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away Paro's Bechira Chavshis, and the Ramban said, yes, he did. But if he took away his Bechira Chavshis, what else did he do?
He took away his ability.
He suspended Schar V'Onesh. Bechira Chavshis, free will, is only necessary if you're going to reward and punish. If you're not going to reward and punish, you could take away free will. That was what the Ramban said last week, and now he's going to amplify it a little bit. First paragraph in the Ramban. Says the Ramban, Ki ani ichbadeti es libo, hodiya HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe, shehu hichbid et libam ata. The Ramban is bothered by why dafka now is God reminding Moshe that he hardened the hearts of the Egyptians. He told Moshe at the snare a long time ago that he would harden the hearts. Why now? So he says, he told him specifically now, Ata hare shepachadu mimenu bibarad vihitvadu al avonam. Because dam tzvadei akinim or of dever, Paro's heart was hardened on his own. Shchin barad, that's when Paro wanted to give in. Right? And that's when Paro said, Hashem atzadik v'ani v'amir ha'shayim, he started admitting, v'amalo atam ki asiti kein, l'man she'ashit b'kirbam eila ha'utot ashani chafetz la'asot bahem, she'yed'u Mitzrayim et gvurati. So God told Moshe, right now you can feel it. Paro wants to give in. At this point in the Makos, if it wasn't for me, Paro would have caved. He can't take the Makos anymore. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to let him. On what condition? Third line, he says, Lo she'anish otam yoter mipnei hakoved hazeh. But let's be clear, he says, I can't punish Paro anymore. Why not? Because Paro doesn't have a choice. Once you take away his bechira chavshis, once Paro has no free will, God can no longer punish him, but he can leave him out there, you know, as an example. And that's exactly what he's doing. The Ramban's going to continue. Fourth line, or second to last full line in that first paragraph. Vod. Also, I'm doing this so that you'll be able to tell over, you know, at the Seder, you'll tell all your children about what I did. That I can do whatever I want. Here, I think the Ramban is touching on something new that he didn't mention when we did it last week, which is, it's not just that if he suspends your Schar V'Onesh, he can suspend your Bechira Chavshis. But sometimes God, being God, is allowed to do things for his own good. And God wanted Yitzias Mitzrayim. Let's face it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have brought Makas Becholos on the first day and we would have left. Or HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have let us go without any, you know, he could have incapacitated all. There are an infinite number of ways that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have brought us out of Mitzrayim without all the Makos. And here God says, no, I choose not to. I choose to do it in a way that would allow you to tell all the generations and for the Mitzrim to see as well that I am toying with them. And in order to do that, I am allowed to suspend free will. This is a much harder thing than we talked about last week, because here it's not just that he suspends Schar V'Onesh so he can suspend free will, but here God says, every once in a while I can do what I want because I'm God. And if I want Yitzias Mitzrayim to be a magical mystery story for generations to come, and I need 10 makos, I'm allowed to do that. Okay? I'm not sure what to do with this other than the fact that I feel like HaKadosh Baruch Hu limits himself so many times, and we see it in so many ways. Every once in a while, he basically says, I'm taking off my limitations. Yes, I want to toy with you, and the way to toy with you is to punish you and not let you give in. Because the normal response would be to give in. Okay, clear? Clear? So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu suspends free will if he suspends Schar V'Onesh, and sometimes he suspends free will simply in order to make a point. That, by the way, so it's a double-sided one. That, by the way, when you look at history and you feel like God is playing in history, here the second point of the Ramban is a better idea. That sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to make a point in history, and in order to do so, he suspends free will. By the way, L'tov and L'ra, I suspect that sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu has people do bad things and has people do good things in order to make a point that he wants to make, because he's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so much for that first Ramban. Second one. Okay. If you follow closely in Va'era and Bo, the theme is clear, right? There are 10 makos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe what's going to happen. Moshe is supposed to tell Paro, right? Moshe tells Paro, and then the makos is supposed to happen. But when you follow in the psukim, you don't find that tripartite story every time. You don't find God telling Moshe, Moshe telling Paro, and the makos happening. Sometimes you have HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling Moshe, the next thing you know is the makos. Or Moshe telling Paro, the next thing is the makos. You don't always have it. The Ramban has a theme that he touches on in many places in the Torah, and he says it here also. It's important to note. Says the Ramban in the second paragraph, V'hine, hodiah HaKadosh Baruch Hu atala Moshe makata arbe, v'shiyagid otala Paro. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe now, arbe is coming up, and tell it to Paro. Ki ma ta'am bo el Paro, ki lo yomar lo klum, v'lo nizkar rak b'divrei Moshe el Paro, ki akatuv ki tzer b'zeh. He says you don't find Moshe warning Paro about the Arbe. Why doesn't Moshe warn Paro about the Arbe? So he says he does. It's just not in the Torah. The Ramban has a theory that the Torah doesn't have to tell you every single thing, every single place that it's necessary. You need to get the picture overall. So look what he says. V'chein, ki tzer l'mala b'makas habarad. Saper divrei HaKadosh Baruch Hu el Moshe hityasev lifei Paro va'amar to'ilov v'lo yizkir divrei Moshe el Paro klal k'moshe perashti v'sibat zeh shelo yirtze laharich bishnehem upam yikatzer bazeh upam bazeh. Says the Ramban, the Torah here as a book has no obligation to give you all the details the first time the issue comes up. The Torah has an obligation to give you the details overall. So sometimes it tells you all the details of HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling Moshe. Sometimes it tells you all the details of Moshe telling Paro. Sometimes it tells you all the details of the Makkah as it happens. Says the Ramban, I think in a way, if I could be slightly disrespectful, Ramban says it would be boring if it kept saying it over and over again. So it tells it to you in different forms. All the Torah has to do is tell us the facts. This matters very much when stories repeat themselves. The Ramban thinks that stories repeating themselves, when there's one piece of information in one telling and one piece in the other telling, it's not a contradiction, it's not a reason for a question. The Torah included one piece of detail here and one piece of detail there. For example, in the story of Eliezer meeting Rivka at the Be'er, so first he davens HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then it happens as he davens, then he tells it over to the family. The Ramban says details are added in each place. It's not a contradiction. It's a bigger issue when we get to Dvarim. It's a bigger issue when Moshe Rabbeinu tells over stories and adds details to what happened previously in Shmos and Vayikra and Bamidbar. There the Ramban has to deal with whether it's Moshe's perspective or, once again, it's the Torah simply not giving you all the details in one telling. But this is a good example. Va'era and Bo are good examples of the Ramban's theory that the Torah doesn't have to tell you the same story over and over again. It can give you different details in different tellings, so long as at the end of all the tellings, you get the full picture. Okay.
So does the Ramban think that, like...
Louder.
Does the Ramban think that Kinim, Shin, and Koshak had warnings?
Yes. Yes. Now, next one. Little introduction. This is the Makkah of Choshech. Do we believe, forgetting the Makkah of Choshech, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world and he made Or and Choshech, what do we think Choshech is?
The absence of light.
The absence of light is what most people think. But when you read the Pasuk, it sounds like he created something called Choshech. Right? That's the simplest reading. And if you read the Ramban there, the Ramban seriously entertains the idea that Choshech is not the absence of light. Choshech is an active, I don't know, thing. So here he goes. Vayet Moshe es yado al ha-shamayim, v'hi choshech afeila b'chalei etzim tzayim shloshes yamin. Okay? the mark of Choshech comes, it's going to be dark for 3 days. Lo ra'u ish es achiv, v'lo kamu ish v'itachtav shloshes yomim, u'lechol b'nei Yisrael haya or b'mosh v'osam. The Egyptians did not see each other and could not get up, literally, for 3 days, but B'nai Yisrael had light. What's the obvious question? Okay, that's the obvious question. Meaning, yes, but that's V'hiflo Hashem Bein Mikneh, you know, God separated between us and the Egyptians. If it was just the absence of light, why were they not able to move? Or, why didn't they got flashlights? Right? Why didn't they use candles? If the absence of light is the absence of light, then fine, make light. So here's the Ramban. He says, V'ta'am lo ra'u ish yetachiv lo kamu ish mitachtav. We're at the bottom of the page. Ki lo haya hachoshech hazeh afisat or hashemesh shebashim sham v'haya kmo laila. Because the makah of choshech was not the absence of light, the way nightfall is the absence of light. Aval haya choshech afela. It was a, what do you call it? A tangible, right. A mamashus thing, a tangible thing. Mamashtik. You could feel the darkness. Kilomar, aid av ma'od sheyarad min ha-shamayim. It was something that actually came down. The closest thing we would think of is a fog, right? But it was obviously not a fog, or it was a black fog. It actually came down from the heaven. Why does Moshe have to stretch out his hands to the heavens? To actually bring down this tangible blanket of darkness. Not the absence of light, but this blanket of darkness. V'haita, says the Ramban, mechaber kol ner. They tried to light candles. They did. This entity of Choshech actually operated in some kind of natural way to extinguish lights. Kasher, now the Ramban says, we all know these things. Kasher b'chol ha-chafirot ha-amukot u'v'kol mikomot ha-choshech ha-atzum lo yitkayem haner. The Ramban says, if you go way down, if you go spelunking, or whatever, you know, you go all the way down, what happens? There's no oxygen. So the Ramban doesn't describe it as a lack of oxygen, but he says when you go all the way down, or obviously all the way up, there is a choshech afela that actually extinguishes light. He says, V'chein ha'ovrim b'hari choshech lo ya'amod lahem sham haner v'lo ha'esh klal. You can't light a flame at the top of a mountain, not because of the wind, but because of the lack of oxygen. V'al kein lo ra'u ish atachiv. That's easy, so they couldn't see each other. V'lo kamu ish mitachtav. I think here he means that the, well,
they didn't have the energy.
Okay, so he doesn't use oxygen. It could be, the Ramban does not say what we want him to say, that the darkness was so heavy that it held them down. I think the Ramban doesn't believe that. I think the Ramban believes that when it's pitch black and you can't see a hand in front of you, you don't get up because it's dangerous. Not because you can't breathe and not because you're held down, but because you're afraid. V'il malekein hayum mishtamshin b'neirot. Here it is. The Ramban says otherwise they would use candles. V'zeu shama katuv shalach choshech v'yachshach ki hayash shaloach choshech lo afisat or hayom bilvad. It was not the absence of darkness of light. V'itachen shaya eid av ma'od murgash shahaya bo kimo mamash. Maybe they actually could feel it. K'divrei Rabotenu kasher hayom b'yom okeanus k'edut Rabbi Avraham. The Ibn Ezra has a fascinating piece where he says, I was once traveling in the Atlantic and we came to this darkness that took a few days to lift and you couldn't see anything. You know, I don't know exactly what kind of climatological phenomenon he was referring to, but it's interesting. Once the Ramban says it here, I think if you go back and you read the beginning, Perek Aleph of Sefer Bereishis, you start to feel like HaKadosh Baruch Hu created something that was not the absence of light, but it was actually some kind of physical entity called darkness. Of course, when the pasuk says that the or and the choshech, that vayavdel okim bein or bein choshech, it sounds like they both coexisted. Right? We wouldn't think that darkness and light could coexist because light always beats out darkness. There you really get a sense that there was something called choshech, and here you see it applied as if it was like waiting and waiting and waiting, and Moshe called it down and it became the makkah of choshech. Fascinating Ramban. Last one. Last one is more for fun. I believe that the Ramban here, without knowing it, is describing the first instance in the Torah of biblical trash talking. Okay? It's worth noting because actually it gets you a sense for the relationship between Moshe and Paro. Here we go. Moshe says, Vayikra Paro Moshe, Vayomer Lechu Ivduas Hashem, Rak Tzonchem Uvekarchem Yutzag, Gam Tavchem Yelechi Machem. Basically, Paro's caving in. Right? Men, women, children, everybody can go. Right, just leave the cattle. Everybody else can go. Vayomer Moshe, no. Gam ata titein biyadenu zevachim va'olot va'asinu la'Hashem Elokeinu. Not only are we all going and taking our cattle, but you're going to give us zevachim va'olot, and we'll bring them as karbanos. So obviously we've all read this pasuk, you know, a hundred times. And what do we think normally? We think it's not in the Torah, but probably Paro gave them zvachim va'olot. Right? That on the way out, Paro was willing to do anything. He gave them karbanos. The Ramban says no. Look at the Ramban. Gam ata titein biyadenu zvachim va'olot. Lo amar Moshe davar ze al menat lehe'asot. It was not because it was going to happen. Moshe didn't say to Paro, this is going to happen in the end. The law stuck in klal. Says the Ramban, it never happened. Aval hein divrei chizuk. I think divrei chizuk, the Ramban means trash talking. Like, Moshe was getting all in Paro's face, as we say. That Moshe was worked up, and he was confident, and in the moment he was overcome by the fact that Paro was still denying him, and he basically exaggerated. And he said, not only this, and not only this, and not only that, you're going to give us karbanos. It never happened, it was never going to happen, says the Ramban. It was just what the Ramban calls divrei chizuk, and I call trash talking. He just told him, you know, you'll see in the end. You'll cave completely. And now he explains. Yomar. Ki tichbad ma'od yad Hashem alav ve'al amo. Ad ki gam zvachim v'alot v'chol ha'shelo yitain ba'ad nafsho. In the end, you'll be willing to give us anything to get us out, including zvachim v'alot. U'be'emet ki ka'asher amay lohem u've'irachtem gamoti. Haya notain b'irtzono kol mikne u'lechaper alav. In the end, Paro really would have done it. But Moshe never ever thought that he would take a carbon from Paro. Never. God wanted to destroy Paro, not to get him kapara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu at that point wanted to wipe out Paro. Here, you actually see two Rambans come together. This idea that Paro had crossed a line and was no longer able to do tshuva. Why is the Ramban so sure that Moshe didn't want to accept karbanos from Paro? We might say to ourselves, why let Paro do tshuva? This ties into the Ramban's idea that we talked about last week, that Paro crossed a line. There's a certain line that if you cross, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes away your ability to do tshuva. And once you cross that line, the Ramban says it's impossible for you to bring karbanos. Moshe would never accede to that request to bring karbanos. And therefore, the Ramban knew that this line wasn't true, even though most of us think it is true when you read it. It wasn't true. It was just what I call trash talking. I would be happy to find out. Somebody found an earlier example in Chamisha Chumshe Torah of, yeah?
Not by trash talking. Didn't Moshe say when the Korban is on, the reason it's called a Torah from the Mitzrim is just because either the Mitzrim considered sacrificing the Torah, or his other explanation was simply that the animal was a Torah to the Jews because was the god of the Mitzrayim. So in that context, it was a Tovah.
Okay, so therefore? So you say it might be the
there
same as the Ramban.
Of Tovah, like Ramban saying
right, so the Jews that wouldn't want to accept. But here I think the Ramban says, even the theoretical idea that they would let Paro bring a carbon was unacceptable because HaKadosh Baruch Hu foreclosed his ability to do tshuva. Okay? That's it for today. Shkach.